go to Mark chapter number 1. I'm going to kind of summarize those four lessons for us in our lesson. This is the only Sunday school hour I'll have. So I'm going to just go over that, those four lessons, do a quick overview. And then I'd like to finish up our lesson, the last few minutes, talking about this subject, how to pray for our missionaries, how to pray for our missionaries. So let's talk about these things and ask the Lord to speak to our heart, prepare our heart throughout this month as the Lord helps us to increase our burden for missions. And so Mark chapter number 1, and if you'll look in verse number 40 through 41, Mark chapter 1, and let me get there in verse number 40 and 41. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 and 41, we'll read those two verses and then down to the end of the chapter. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And he saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would meet with us here this morning. Lord, please bless our time here. Help us to understand, Lord, how you create missionaries, how you prepare the hearts of missionaries. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll put upon us, Lord, the excitement of being able to be a part of your great missionary effort. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, we have the feet of a missionary. There's a definite order that God puts down as far as preparing people in this matter of missions. And most people would think, well, maybe the heart should come first. You know, when I get a burden, I'll go. God says, no, you go, and then you'll get a burden. And, you know, most of the things in the Christian life, folks, are not built upon emotions and feelings. They're built upon obedience to the Bible. You know, if we just obey the Bible, then the other things will fall into place. So the first command is to go. The Bible talks about in Romans chapter 10, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And so there, during this month, we're going to be preaching on the making of a missionary. The Sunday school classes, they'll start today with the feet of a missionary. Next week, the eyes of a missionary, the heart of a missionary, the hands of a missionary. And I thought it's good for our adult class to go back through this order. And I want to teach it in that order because I believe to become a missionary, it's got to start with your feet. The very first step is to go. Think about that, to go. You know, we just need to obey the Lord. You know, I read the last two verses in this story because Jesus commanded this leper not to do something and he did not obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could say, well, why would Jesus ask that? I don't know. Why did he ask him not to do that? I don't know. I think we see the result of what happened when he disobeyed the Lord. I know Jesus was not able to continue going into the populated areas because this man began to publish. I think Jesus had a plan. I think that there were some things he was going to accomplish. I think we may get to heaven and find out that that man's disobedience, because he was excited about what Jesus did for him, actually resulted in other people not getting the miracle they could have gotten. You know, listen, I read things like this, and there's part of me that thinks, boy, that's just backwards, because when we get saved, the Bible commands for us to share it. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But you know, there's going to be times when I read something in the Bible or the Lord gives me a command. And folks, whether or not it makes sense or not at the moment, you know, just the best thing to learn to do is just obey the Lord. Yes, now, I don't know if this makes sense. Obey the Lord. You know, a lot of the Lord's commands don't make a lot of sense logically. You know, we always start with tithing. There's no logical sense that says that 90% of our income can go farther than 100% of our income. And yet everybody in here that's made a habit, a life habit of tithing, would stand up right now and say, whether it makes sense or not, let me just tell you, it's true. You know, and there's just a lot of things that God's going to ask us that may not make logical sense. And one of the things is to go, just to go. And so he starts with that command. And so we are answering three questions in our classes. What is a missionary? Who are our missionaries? And then how can I become a missionary? And I won't go through all of those things in this class. I mostly want to just talk about the four parts of a missionary: the feet, and then the eyes, and then the heart, and then the hands. And I chose this particular story because of the fact that you see all four elements in it. We see that the Bible says, verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down. Now, this is while Jesus is on a preaching tour in Galilee. If we look back up, verse number 39, it says, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So Jesus was busy in ministry activity when this occurred. He was in the process of going from city to city, place to place, just doing what God taught him to do or commanded him to do. And so we're to go and we're to preach. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It's interesting. In the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find the word go 177 times in 166 different verses. You know, folks, I think that it's not going to get much plainer. The command by Christ is to go. Watch this. Not sit and hope or wait and sit and pray that some lost soul may wander in. I tell the story every once in a while of a preacher, by the way, a guy that had been in the ministry for some time, had been pastoring for over 12 years. And I went out to eat with him, and he said, how's things going? And I mentioned to him that we happened to have in the previous Sunday. I said, man, we had a good Sunday. Had three people walk the aisle that Sunday morning and gotten saved. Now, you and I both know that that don't happen every Sunday morning, but it happened to happen the Sunday morning before I ate with him. And I was just rejoicing in the overflow. And he said, so you preached and then they walked the aisle to be saved? And then people dealt with him. And he said, I said, yeah. And he looked down at his plate for a minute and he said, Brother Ross, I'm ashamed to mention this. He said, but you know what? I've never had anyone respond to salvation after a message that I preached. Walk forward, came in lost, walked forward, lost, seeking to be saved and be dealt with and receive Christ as their Savior. And I was a little bit astounded. Good preacher, good man, by the way. I mean, believes everything we believe, preaches everything we preach. So he said, can you help me with that? And I said, well, let me ask you this. How long you pastored this church? And he said, 12 years. I said, let me ask you an honest question. In the 12 years you're there, how many Sunday mornings have there been any lost people sitting in the church? And he kind of looked down and he said, very few times. And I said, listen, brother, I'm not saying there aren't some things that you can do, but the most important thing you can do is go home and train your church members to bring first-time visitors. Because, folks, I could get up on a Sunday morning, and I've done it before, and preach a message on salvation that's so crystal clear and feel the presence of the Lord move in. But guess what? If nobody's lost is here, no one's getting saved. Now, God might use it through live stream. Hallelujah. You never know. I think as a preacher, sometimes I've come and been so burdened to preach on salvation, and just that was going to be the focus. And then I, you know, as a preacher, if the Lord dealt with you that strongly, you're kind of looking around thinking, and then, Lord, did I hear it right? Did I listen right? Get up and preach salvation to a whole church full of saved people. And I know this, you can't go wrong following the Lord. Amen. If that's what the Lord said to do, then first of all, you know, sometimes we assume everybody's saved, and that may not be the case. And then I think to myself that, you know what, Brother Klein, every once in a while, and we haven't done this for a while, I'd be curious. He can get on there and he can see how many people have gone to our website, how many people have gone there to listen to messages, and now we have it on YouTube. And I think to myself, when those kind of services happen, I wonder to myself later on, well, Lord, you don't get anything wrong, so maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe it wasn't even somebody that listened that morning live stream. Maybe it could be 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, you know, again, you can go on our website, you can go all the way back and listen to my dad's messages. And I think, when we're going to get to heaven, how many times are we going to find that somebody was just surfing the internet and just looking curious? Come on, God was working in their hearts a little bit, stumbled across a website like ours that have a gospel message on it, got saved, you know, whether they're here in Indiana, whether they're in the United States, whether they're across the ocean. You know what? We just put as many lines in the lake as we possibly can. I had a guy tell me this week, he said, Brother Bottrell, I went up, I'll tell you that quick story. We ended up, me and Cheryl were supposed to fly out Thursday afternoon and to Maryland and do a couples retreat and then fly back Saturday. And then I looked at the forecast on Thursday and I thought, there's nothing going out of Indy. We were going to fly Indy to Detroit to Maryland, which I was real excited about because when I got to Detroit, I was going to just, you know, not leave till I got my phone or I got thrown in jail. So apparently it's still up there. Some guy is in the ghettos of Detroit making drug deals on the preacher's phone right now. But then I saw that band and I saw the forecast and I saw where it was heading. I thought, this thing just came and kind of sat here for a while and stalled on us, and it was on Indy and Detroit. I told Cheryl, Wednesday morning, I'm doing my devotions, and I pulled the phone out afterwards, and I'm thinking, there's no way in the world we're flying out there tomorrow. And we decided by that time to call church services, and I finally looked at her and just said, you know what, if this front right now in the rain part of it, before the snow and ice gets here, if I don't leave in the next couple hours, the only way I'm going to get out there and do that couples retreat is jump in the truck and go do it. Well, Cheryl wasn't able to go with me because Bev's an extra day and a half was not going to be good to leave her that long. And she also had gotten really, really nervous with the storm coming in. And so Cheryl said, I just don't feel comfortable doing it. So anyway, I drove 10 hours in front of this storm to get out there. And then I had to come back Saturday through the aftermath of it, which I was on I-70. It was clear and good. And my brother bought trout. Don't know why I told you all that, but I was 51 couples at this. All they got was rain out there. They were fine. And 51 couples had a good time. But Brother Bottrell was telling me that this year when he was preaching his vision night and going through the different ministries of the church, that he had a whole bunch of fishing rods. I thought this was a good idea. On the stage. And then he would put on the end of one fishing rod a weight, and then he'd put the name of a ministry. And he said, I was casting it out. Then I propped the pole up, and then I'd talk about another ministry and cast it out. And he said, by the time I got done, we had fishing lines all over the church, you know, and all these, just trying to illustrate to the people that, you know what, we just throw a lot of lines out in the water. You know why? Because there's a lot of different ways that people come to Christ, and any way we can get the gospel out, let's get the gospel out. And you know what we're doing? We're going. And so it has to start with our feet, folks. We're not to sit and hope or sit and wait or sit and pray. You know what? The command is to go. And I wrote this down. If a church is not going, then that church is not growing. And so we have to go. We have to do what God's called us to. So it starts with our feet. And there's all kinds of places you can go. Go to your lost family members. Go into the community. Come on, share the gospel. Go through Operation Occupation. Grab a field and find some treasure in it in the bus ministry. Go to the neighborhood you live in. Go to the public school and share the gospel. I'll tell you what, we've had an amazing revival on our road. Two of our neighbors are now saved. And so none of their kids are saved, but their two of the neighbors are saved. So that's we're seeing some progress there. I'm going to tell you more. If any more Blessed Hope people move into the neighborhood, we're selling our place and moving somewhere else. Anyway, we got a compound going. We're going to have rumors about this church pretty soon. So, yeah, me and Brian and Roger's figuring out a way to build a wall around all three properties. So when the last times comes, don't come knocking. We don't have enough food for everybody. And going to the public schools. I'm burdened about this. You might pray about this. I don't know when we could do it, if we could do it. But I was with Aaron Samples here recently, not at his church, but just met him at a meeting, and he told me he's gotten into their middle school over there, which is 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. They've got the middle school there in Urbana, and he started a Bible club about 2 years ago. He said, I've got 120 young people that comes to my public school Bible club every Tuesday afternoon. And I'm just sitting there. And I told him, one of these days I'm gonna drive over and maybe take Brother Gordon and Levi with me, and we'll just sneak in the back and watch how in the world he's doing this. What are you looking for, preacher? Preacher, we're busy. And now, preacher, I don't know. There's a place called hell, I know that. You know what? Fire hasn't gone out.
That's right.
People are still screaming for a drop of water. And the honest truth is, you know what? I think that one of the saddest accusations against Israel before they went into judgment, he said, woe unto them who are at ease. Woe to them that are at ease. And I just think everybody's looking for a church with a recliner.
Right.
I'm just telling you. I just feel like more and more when I preach it, even in my church, I just kind of get this quiet, dead stillness, you know, where there's just less and less of a desire. I mean, come on, a Holy Spirit conviction that used to come upon Christians who were not involved in spreading the gospel and would break them and drive them into ministry and drive them into soul winning and drive them in. It just seems like we've gotten so hard. And folks, listen, we can't do that. The future of this church, listen, God will bless this church as long as we obey his book. And the day that we stop obeying his book and start writing on our reputation, God can look down at Blessed Hope and say, I can find some other church to use. I don't need to use you. You know, we earn the right to keep the candlestick. I ought to preach a message on that. You earn the right to keep the candlestick. You got to go back to those letters written to the seven churches where he said, I'll come get your candlestick. You earn the right to keep the candlestick. Are we earning the right to keep the candlestick for this area? And so, you know, let this move in your heart. So there's so many places you can go. Feet starts with the feet. Starts with, as soon as the Lord burdens my heart, heart's not going to get burdened until your feet get moving. And so first we go. Secondly, we see. And when Jesus went, guess what? Then he saw. He saw the leper. And then, of course, the heart, he was moved with compassion. But as you go and as you obey, the next thing that God does begin to just deal with what you're seeing. What is a missionary preacher? It's somebody who goes. But it's not just somebody who goes. It's somebody that opened their eyes and begins to see. I think one of the greatest prayers you can pray is, Lord, help me to look at people and see people the way you see them. I mean, I think that as we leave the house every day, that might be a prayer that we just need to whisper on our lips. God, as I look at people today, help me to see them as you see them. You know, sometimes I'll stop in a crowded store. I'll stop somewhere and I'll just, on a street corner, and I'll just look at faces and I'll imagine them burning in hell forever. And folks, if we aren't willing to see what God sees, then we're never going to get the burden. Jesus saw this leper. He saw somebody that, yes, needed physical healing, but he needed something more important than that. Jesus saw a person who was lost and on his way to hell. The story of the woman at the well. Wow. And that's such a powerful story. Because they had traveled a long distance that day, and the Bible says Jesus was weary, and the disciples were weary and hungry. And they told Jesus, why don't you sit here by the well? And we'll go into the town and we'll get some food. You know what was on the minds of those disciples? Food. I get it. And if you haven't eaten and you're hungry and thirsty, you know. But can I say this? That's the appetites of the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And that's written that way for a certain reason. Because if we're not careful, we're so worried about the appetites of our flesh and always satisfying the appetites of our flesh that we don't get involved in the spiritual work. Jesus was just as thirsty as them, just as hungry and just as weary. But you know what? When he sat down, he put all of that to the side. He looked over. Matter of fact, when they brought food back, he said, I've got meat to eat you know not of. And they said, did someone bring him food? Someone bring him food? And you know, he's always trying to teach them spiritual things. It's like they couldn't get it, you know. And he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And you know, I just want to say this. He's tired, he's hungry and thirsty. You know what, folks? Tired people run bus routes. Tired people, come on, tired people teach Sunday school classes. Tired people go soul winning. Tired, hungry, thirsty people. You know, that's who, that, you know, I like saying this. I heard a man say it one time. I said, it says, one man said this, tired people rule the world. Well-rested people don't do much. Tired people rule the world. You know, every once in a while I'll get to be looking a little ragged. I'll get into a busy time and people will come by and thank you for caring. You know, I thank you for caring. But sometimes they'll say, preacher, you look tired. Preacher, are you getting enough rest? Well, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. But you know what? There's a whole eternity to rest. You know, I don't want to rust out. People so worried about burning out. I mean this. So I've hear so much talk about burnout in Christianity. You know why? Because our vision has stopped going outward and it's going inward now. We're more worried about ourselves than we are anything. So everybody's, you know, went through this phase for the last 5 years, everybody talking about burnout and burnout and burnout and burnout. I don't see too many people burning out. By the way, if it's a fire that's sent by God, God put that burning bush on fire, and because it was a divine fire, it didn't consume the bush. And you know what we need? We need a fire burning inside of us. And the kind of right kind of fire doesn't burn us up, but it lights us up. And so we're tired. So, you know, yeah, I live tired. That's okay. You know, I rest good when I rest, for the most part. And I'm working and I'm doing and I'm pushing. And yes, we want to keep doing that. And so as long as we can, you know, because folks, listen, you know, I'm seeing some blessed saints of God here. I mean, blessed saints of God that spent their life busy, 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 busy for the Lord. And I'm watching them now at the point of their life where they just, it's all they can do to get to church. And some of them are having a hard time getting to church. And I think, you know what? Old man time wins. He's undefeated. It's the way God made us. We're going to go the way of all men. So how can I, when I still have health and strength, how can I not do? You know, I think later, there's going to be a time, Brother Joe, when I'm going to be sitting there wishing, watching a bunch of young guys take off to serve the Lord, and I'm going to be sitting there wishing I could get up and go with them, wishing I could push as hard as I used to, wishing I had the energy. So while I have it, I'm not going to use it. And so the eyes see what Jesus sees, saw. You know, here's the thing. All right, they're dealing with their flesh, and we all got to deal with the flesh. That's why I bring that up. We all got to fight it. Okay, and then when they got back, you know what? They looked at that woman and they didn't see the same thing Jesus saw. You know what they saw? Samaritan. You know what they saw? Sinfulness. Okay, so why is he? They wondered why he was talking to her, but no man did ask. You know, they weren't brave enough to ask, but they're thinking, why is he even taking time? What is he doing? And again, what's this story all about? It's a comparison between how Jesus saw the situation and how the disciples saw the situation. You know, when Jesus saw her, you know what he saw? He saw a treasure. He saw a lost soul. He said, you know what? There's somebody that's, you know what? They've spent their life in sin. Sin, shameful sin. Shameful sin. He brought up the topic of the living water. And you know what she said? She said, give me this water that I may drink. And you know what? He didn't go right to giving her the water. You know what he said? He said, why don't you go call your husband first? You know why he did that? Because before you can drink of the living water, we got to deal with your sinfulness. And that's why we cover, folks, in our gospel presentation, point one and point two, before we go to point three and point four. And I've watched people that are trained in soul winning. And I've watched them not even deal with sin. You know, hey, would you like to go to heaven? You'd like to go to heaven, wouldn't you? Hey, you know what? Let me show you a verse. And then why don't we pray? Well, wait a minute. If there's no conviction, there's no conversion. You got to get somebody lost before you can get them saved. And you know what's interesting? He talked about the living water, got her interested. Give me this water. He said, well, why don't you go get your husband? She kind of dropped her head. She said, well, I don't have one. He said, well, yeah, you don't, but that isn't the whole story, is it? You've had several, and the man you're living with now, you're not married to. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. Don't be afraid to talk to some people about sin.
Yes, sir.
Well, I might scare them away. Scare them away from what? Praying a prayer that's not doesn't work if they're not under conviction? I think more and more we need to bring up people's sin to them. You know, talk about their sinfulness. Got to get back in the pulpit of preaching against sin, naming sin, not being afraid to talk about sin. Because, you know what, if a person doesn't realize that they're hopelessly lost, they're not going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about the eyes, what Jesus saw. And then we get into the heart, and we go back to Mark chapter 1, and I'm thinking about this matter of compassion. Jesus moved with compassion. He was touched in his heart, the heart of a missionary. Missionary, who's a missionary preacher? He's one willing to go, one willing to see, one willing to feel compassion. Willing to feel compassion. Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. I listened to a sermon on that when I was driving back on Saturday. Was flipping through my phone looking for some sermons to listen to, and I tagged that one and listened to Brother Howes preach on mine eye affecteth mine heart. And boy, I was moved once again. I needed to hear that. It was good for me. And you know what, folks? What we see affects us, for the good or the bad. Maybe we're just so punch drunk on Hollywood movies that we can't see lost souls anymore. Well, we're so hypnotized by Facebook that we can't even see lost souls anymore. Whatever your eyes are on, it's affecting you. One way or another, it's affecting you.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know what? Why don't we put our eyes where Jesus put his eyes? Why don't we see what Jesus saw? It touched his heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. He's willing to go, willing to see, willing to feel compassion. Jesus was the greatest missionary ever. Think about that. Wow. You know what? He went. Yep, he left heaven, came to us. Saw a lost and dying world, felt in his heart compassion, and then, you know what, he done something about it. This matter of leprosy, wow, do a study on that. Symptoms of leprosy. It spread between people, although extensive contact is necessary. Spread is thought to occur through a cough or contact with fluid from the nose of a person infected by leprosy. Tommy Tillman is a wonder. He's in heaven now. Mitch Tillman will be here. I want to see if I can get him telling stories about his daddy. I read Brother Tillman's biography. I don't know if we've got any more back there of those or not. Might have some back in the office here. I'll have to check, try to get some out there. If you haven't read Tommy Tillman's biography, you ought to read it. And you know, when he first got saved, he was so just tender. Listen, he didn't know anything, didn't have a church background, saved out a sinful life, got into the Word of God, and just started reading the New Testament. And he's living with his wife and at home, and he gets up and he reads the portion of Scripture where Jesus paired off the 70 and told them, don't take any clothes with you, don't take any money with you, don't take a staff with you, just go preach the gospel. And his wife come in, and he said, honey, I got to go. I love this. She said, where are you going? Well, I just read in the Bible. I'm not supposed to take anything with me, but I got to go preach the gospel. He left his house, walked out to the highway, stood at the highway and went like this until someone would pick him up, and then he would preach the gospel to them until they got mad and kicked him out of the car, and he just kept doing that. Slept out in a ditch a couple nights, hungry, you know, got to see a couple people saved. Finally thought, I'm not sure I'm doing this exactly right. I probably should have talked to my pastor about this. Hitchhiked back, went to his pastor's house and said, preacher, I did get to see a couple people saved. I'm not sure I'm doing this right. And he's like, okay, let's read all of what the Bible says before we. But you know what? I love it. I love it. You know, maybe he didn't get it all right, but what he read, he did. And I think later on, that same heart that was willing just to say, if that's what Jesus said to do, I'm going to go out the highway and stick my thumb out, is the same heart that took him to Thailand to the lepers colonies. And, you know, you've heard him tell the stories. Those of you that were here when he's been here, or, you know, the lepers, I realized I wasn't going to be able to gain their confidence and convince them of my love for them and God's love for them if I didn't eat with them, if I didn't visit in their homes, if I didn't sit with them, if I didn't hug them and hold their hand and pray with them. Wow. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not going to put any of us to the test right now. with any kind of show of hands, but I'm sitting there and thinking, my heart, would I have the faith to do that? That's amazing. But I think maybe it's because Tommy Tillman went when God said go. He saw what God would see, and he let that compassion of Christ touch his heart. And I put in our Sunday school teacher's packet some pictures I took off the internet of leprosy, and I know the teachers, depending on the age of the kids, will have to use judgment on that because they're pretty graphic. And sometimes you'll hold up a picture like that and people, and our instant reaction is, and we can't see past the damage of the leprosy to realize that person is just as much of a person as I am.
Yes, sir.
And they have all the same dreams and hopes and aspirations, and they didn't ask for this, they didn't want this, but their lives are completely controlled by leprosy. Folks, listen, leprosy is a type of sin. And whether or not we think we spiritually looked any better than that, I think when God looked down at us, compared to the leprosy, we looked a lot worse. And yet God's great heart, his great heart, think of what leprosy did. Made them leave their homes. They could no longer live with their family, leave their town. They had to go into a leper colony. They had to warn each others of their condition. Any healthy person came near, they cried, unclean, unclean. They suffered mistreatment. Often healthy people would throw stones at them to drive them away because of the fear in their heart. This is what leprosy did, and I thought that's what sin does. It just takes a life and destroys it. But Jesus had compassion. This is interesting. That word compassion is like co-passioned with this leper. Passion means an intense feeling. Jesus traded places with this leper in his mind. This is one of the things I really want our Sunday school teachers to try to get across to our kids. One of the hardest things for children to experience, unless they are taught how to, is empathy. You know, come on, we're all born selfish people. We see that a lot in immaturity, in those phases where they just have everything they see, all they can see is from their perspective. And for a kid, for the first time in their life, to trade places with someone, I mean, to really stop and say, what if I was them? Not just ask the question, but put their heart in that person's body and see through their eyes and feel what they were feeling. That is a big step. I'll be honest, I wonder if there's some adults that have never done that. Because once you start doing that, isn't it interesting that the hands come next? Because when you begin to co-passion with people, feel what they feel, see what they see, understand what sin's done to them, how can you not move and do something about it? And so we see this great the great heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. I told our Sunday school teachers, well, I didn't tell them, I think it's in the lesson there, that when we get to this compassion, the heart, you know, bring a blindfold to class and blindfold the kids and say, now for the next 30 seconds, 60 seconds, I want you from right here to try to find your way from here to the back of the class. And I want you for 60 seconds to think about what it would be to be blind. And maybe take one of the boys on the front row and say, now I want you to go all the way back and get the candy back there. And he's, oh, no, you can't use your legs. You're paralyzed from the chest down. All you can use is your hands and your arms. Folks, I was preaching in the Philippines when me and Cheryl went over there. And by the way, thank you, church, for allowing us to do that and helping us financially be able to do that. But I'll never forget preaching. And one of the young men that came there, one of the teens that came there, was paralyzed from the waist down. And I never saw him carried anywhere, assisted anywhere. He literally had calluses on his elbows as he would drag himself along all over that camp. And to preach and give the invitation and to watch him come down the aisle and crawl up on the steps with his elbows and weep and sob over what God was doing in his heart. Whew. There's a handful of things you see in life, you'll never unsee it. And you know what? To be able to sit there on the platform and say, okay, you're not Jerry Ross, you're him for the rest of your life. Trade places with him. Would I be bitter? He had such a tender heart. I mean, he was so excited. He'd sit out there when they were doing skits and stuff and laugh. I mean, I don't know if anybody enjoyed camp more than that young man. Just loved every second of it. And I thought to myself, he's got a better attitude than half the kids here that's got healthy bodies. And to be able to just trade places with people, okay? Let's not lose that at Blessed Hope, okay? Let's really get in the habit of practicing that, and maybe y'all do. I have no idea. But you know, it's so easy to just begin to look at people, and all of a sudden we're just looking, you know, look at them. Wait a minute, why don't you be them for a minute? You know, why don't you take a minute and be them? And then step back in and look at them differently. And that's what Jesus did. Of course, then that affected his hands. And we see it that in there. It says, not only was he moved with compassion, but what? He put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will be thou clean. And so we start with the feet. And then we, where we go allows us to see things we wouldn't see if we didn't go. And as we see things, it begins to affect our heart. And as we begin to feel what God wants us to feel, we then reach out to do what God wants us to do. And so here, what did Jesus see in this story in Mark? He saw a man that had a great need. He understood that he could help him with that great need, and he reached out and done something about it. Who are our missionaries, preacher? Well, if you go back there in the hallway, you'll see a bunch of people that went. Because they were called, they just went. I mean, they surrendered to go to a place before they'd ever seen it. And they went, and then you know what they saw, and then you know what they felt, and then they said, what can we do? We can do that right here in our Jerusalem also. Let's make sure that we're busy looking at things the way Jesus Christ would look at them and seeing the things he saw. I want you to get familiar with our missionaries. Let me give you just real quickly, I'll read down through. This won't take but a couple minutes. Let me give you some keys of praying with our missionaries, praying for our missionaries. And we have the booklet that we've handed out to all of you. And again, there's extra copies back there if you need them. But take the time to pray for our missionaries. Let me just give you some things when it comes to praying for missionaries. Number one, pray for future missionaries. Pray for future missionaries. Before we pray for our present one, let's pray for some future ones. Ask God to continue to call people into the mission field, including some of our own. Pray for our present missionaries. And you've got a booklet now. You'll be better equipped to do that. I might say this for the ladies. Ladies, why don't you pick out some missionary wives and just pray specifically? I think as a lady, praying for another, a wife praying for another wife of a missionary would be awesome. You might have your children. Pick out some missionary children. Or teens, pick out some missionary teens and pray for them. You can use Missionary Hall. It's a wonderful thing to use Missionary Hall as a place to go to pray. And I go back there often. Many times during the week I go back there. If you let me just, I thought about this. If you would just one time a week, I mean, just if whether Sunday night works better for you, Wednesday night works better for you, Sunday morning works better for you. If just one time a week you discipline yourself to walk back, read a letter, and then stop and bow your head and pray for that family, I'm telling you, I think you'd be surprised what it does. And that would be 52 different missionary families you'd pray for in a year's time. That's just one a week. Sometimes if you have some extra time and you want to this week, month of mission, emphasis month, and preacher, I'd love to just be able to stop by and spend some time in Missionary Hall. Have at it. Most days when I come in, I just unlock the front door. First thing in the morning, and so most of the time during the day the church is open, and if not, we have this side door over here that if somebody needs, we have a code to get into that side door over there, not the one in the office, but the one next door here. There's actually we can give you that combination or something if you need to get in and pray. Use Missionary Hall. Pray for a hedge of protection around our missionaries. Pray for the purpose of missions, which is what? Souls to be saved, churches to be planted, men and women discipled, and from those men, preachers to be called and trained, and we just keep doing it over and over and over again. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity just to talk about missions a little bit. And Lord, we are going to be able to host, Lord, some of your choicest servants. So Lord, thank you for the honor to do that. Responsibility that comes with it, we want to be good hosts. and generous and a blessing to them. So, Lord, just move in our hearts tonight. Be with the Hectors. Keep them safe on the roads and bring them here tonight, Lord, just filled with your spirit, rested, helped. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.